This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Uplift Desk. In today's work environment, it's essential to find balance and promote well-being, and Uplift Desk is here to make that a reality. With a focus on ergonomics and innovative design, Uplift Desk offers standing desks that not only encourage healthier work habits, but also enhance your overall productivity. Each desk is built with unmatched stability and quality, ensuring that your workspace is both dynamic and durable. The beauty of Uplift Desk lies in its extensive customization options, allowing you to select from a vast array of desktops and accessories to fit your specific work needs and aesthetic preferences. Additionally, Uplift Desk is committed to customer satisfaction, offering fast shipping, free returns, and a 15-year warranty. Transform your office and your health by visiting UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your entire order. With Uplift Desk, you're not just investing in a piece of furniture, you're investing in a healthier, more productive future. Again, go to UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your order today.
Hi, I'm Christopher Carter, and I'm ready to have a productive conversation with my friend Mike Vardy.
I'm really excited to have this conversation with Christopher Carter, really revolving around his book, Permission to Glow, A Spiritual Guide to Epic Leadership. We get into the idea of glow and permission, such a big, big word. There's so much to get into, and I'd rather just have you hear us talk about it than me pontificate about it. So let's get to that conversation now. Here's my conversation, a productive one at that, with Christopher Carter. Christopher, thanks so much for joining me on the program today. It's always great to meet another Chris with a K, because my brother is a Chris with a K as well. So it's
oh, what a lucky guy. He goes through life like me with his name perpetually misspelled.
Well, but you've got it both ways. You've got the he has the PH and you have the FF. So that's like doubly tricky, right? But I mean, I really am excited to be able to chat with you about this book. The book is called Permission to Glow. And I've been chatting with people. Actually, I just chatted with Julie Funt not too long ago, and her book, A Minute to Think. And permission was one of the words that kept coming up in her book. And this idea of permission, I want to explore right out of the gate. We'll get into the glow and the elements that you talk about in the book. But why is permission something that we really need to kind of hone in on and maybe lean into a little bit more when it comes to, you know, the work we do and the life we lead?
Well, I think we default to not giving ourselves permission. So just by even inferring that there is another option to give ourselves, it activates an awareness. Mm. And that's my intention there. It's not my permission to give anybody else through the book. It's for me to offer them as permissions to give themselves.
And there's four permissions that you bring up in the book, right? The four permissions. We're going to go through each section, but remember, I don't want to let's leave a nice little taste for people. You've done this before. You know how this works.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
One of the things that I just told you that I came back from vacation, and it was a two island hopper. There was very limited Wi-Fi. So it was basically a place where all I could do is just relax and be present and essentially chill. And the first permission is permission to chill. Now, what do you mean by chill in that context? Is it the relaxation element, or is it the reducing anxiety element? Like, can you dive into that a little bit?
Yeah, so chill has become kind of a blanket term for anything we can do, the defiant act of slowing down. I mean, our modern age, our digital age is so amped and ramped at all times that I'm a huge proponent of creating a daily meditation practice. I think that's very core to chilling out in the deepest core of our being. But mostly I just want to give, you know, leaders and fellow productive people that are just go, go, go all the time, the ability to tap out once in a while and hit that pause button and just chill and take a look around and be with what is.
How do you combat the biases around that? Again, this comes up a lot. Like, I don't have time. I don't have time to do that. Like, you know, or, yeah. And it, but it also, it comes at it from both ways. One is I don't have time. And then you show them that they do. And then they say, well, that must be nice for Christopher, or that must be nice for Mike, because they've got this and this. So how do you, again, we kind of talked about this before we hit the record button, but how do you have that discussion without necessarily having to dismiss them out of hand? Because a lot of this gets dismissed out of hand. Oh,
You're Canadian, you don't understand.
Exactly. You're Canadian, you don't understand America. Right. I'm like, all right. Like, right, how do you help someone through that?
Yeah, well, a lot of my professional career is spent lobbing missiles to get the attention of very high-performing productivity junkies, you know, and I'm not saying they're not productive, but it is a total fallacy to argue the time thing, because the two biggest scarcity constructs in all of human history, all of human existence, are time and money.
Yep.
There will never be enough of either. Mm-hmm. And what I'm more concerned with is creating what yogis call right action. So when we move beyond action for action's sake, the time that you invest in getting more efficient, you know this in your line of work, the time that you invest in getting more discerning, more aware, more calm, more focused, that is subtractive. It's not additive. It's not additive to the time you already are chasing. So when people start arguing that, I usually, my spidey senses go up and I'll do something to get their attention.
Well, and there's this expectation too that if you're not doing something, then you're not being productive, which is a fallacy as well, right? Like, I mean, that's a big thing. And people, like you said, they confuse activity with productivity, right? They confuse this, like, I'm just doing stuff, and if I don't do stuff, then I'm not being productive, and that's just not the case.
Well, and I think it kind of sets up the second permission to feel the feels, because it's kind of at the core of that is what I hear in that is when people confuse their self-worth with their output. And that's a dangerous place to play as well. And I'm going through it right now, you know, in the middle of a book launch. It's very complex. There's a lot of details. You know, I'm cranking as much as I can each day. And at some point, I have to just make peace with what did and what didn't get done each day, realizing that whatever did get done or didn't isn't reflective of my self-worth. Self-worth comes first before what we did or didn't get done.
Do you think that's a generational thing too? I mean, I'll get a little bit personal here, but I've always felt that growing up, my father lived in a household where is you are what you did, not you are who you are. And I've really tried, because my dad was like a bridge of that, right? Where he tried desperately to break free of that mentality, but it was really hard because that's all he grew up with, right? You are what you do, not you are because of your. I think that's part of it too, right? This idea of if I'm not hitting a certain level, if I'm not making the most of all this stuff, then I'm less than. Then I am less than. Not the work, not the task, not the. I mean, so you're not giving yourself that vulnerability thing, which I think is a new. That's something that we need to lean into more too, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the world in its present form is squeezing it out of us. We have to be more vulnerable if we're going to sustain ourselves. But yeah, to your point about the generational thing, I mean, I noticed it with my dad certainly, and there's older leaders that I've coached where when they lose a job position, it's like losing their identity.
Yeah.
And that's kind of tragic, you know, to get so enmeshed with your role at work that your role as a human being is tied up in that. Peter Gabriel wrote probably the best song about that subject in history, called Don't Give Up. The song Don't Give Up from the 90s was about this, you know, confusing your work life with your entire identity. I think that but what's encouraging to me is that all generations are coachable to some degree, and they are open to what are the values and the benefits of actually being, you know, vulnerable, exploring life beyond what I did at work today.
This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by 1Password. Imagine a world where forgetting passwords is no longer a hassle and your digital security is uncompromised. 1Password offers a robust, intuitive solution to manage all your passwords with just one master password, safeguarding your information across every device. This isn't just any password manager. It's a comprehensive security tool that encrypts your data, ensuring only you have access. With 1Password, you can generate strong, unique passwords for each of your accounts, store sensitive information securely, and even share important logins with family or colleagues safely. Recognized by Wirecutter as the top pick for password managers, 1Password is the preferred choice for enhancing your online security without the complexity. Enhance your digital security by visiting 1Password.com. And we have a special offer for listeners of A Productive Conversation. Right now, listeners of A Productive Conversation get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/productive convo. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/productive convo. 1Password.com/productive convo. Check out what 1Password can do for you, your business, and even your family today. This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Prolon. If you've ever considered fasting for its health benefits but can't face the idea of days without food, Prolon offers a novel solution. It's a nutrition program that simulates the effects of fasting while allowing you to eat. Developed by scientists at the USC Longevity Institute, Prolon supports weight management, enhances physical performance, and bolsters gut health through a meticulously crafted 5-day meal program. This isn't just another diet. It's a lifestyle change backed by Nobel Prize-winning research, designed to trigger cellular rejuvenation and promote overall well-being. I can't wait to put it through the paces. The meals, ranging from savory soups to nutritious snacks, are all designed to ensure your body achieves a fasting state with the energy you need to maintain your daily routine. Prolon is convenient, providing everything in a single box delivered to your doorstep. I am anxiously awaiting mine. I encourage you to check out Prolon as well. If you're ready to see how Prolon can change the way you think about fasting and nutrition, then right now, Prolon is offering A Productive Conversation listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/timecrafting. That's prolonlife.com/timecrafting for this special offer. Head over to prolonlife.com/timecrafting to get started today.
All right. So you've got some symbolism that you throw in throughout the book as well, right? We've already touched on the first two permissions, but I want to touch on the third one because this has come up in the last few interviews I've done. None of these interviews I've done or conversations that I've had will necessarily air all in order, but I'm really hyped up about a new wrestling organization because I'm a pro wrestling fan. And I know it's like, wait, what? But one of the things that came up, And as I was going through it happened recently, this new wrestler debuted and he had a lightning bolt like in the middle of his name. And I'm like, hey, I just read about that. And that's the and what was also interesting is when he debuted, it was the lights went dark and there was this anticipation it was going to be somebody else. And it was this other person. And they're like, oh, he's a good guy. He's coming. And it was all lightning bolts and like just bright lights. But it was the only thing that was coming on. He came down. And then he swerved everybody and ended up being a bad guy instead and joined the bad guys. And all I could think about during that whole moment was, this is amazing. This is amazing. This guy. And the look on this guy's face was just, he had just left another organization, was with this one. He looked radiant, like he was getting to do exactly what he wanted to do. And from all accounts, he turned down a high salary. He turned down so much. And he said, nope, this is what I want. So when we talk about the third permission, the permission to glow in the dark, as you talk about, like there was some connection there that it came back to me. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
And that excitement around it was, I mean, later tonight, after I'm done having this conversation with you and after dinner, he's going to be on the next wrestling show, which I haven't watched wrestling like actively in a long time. Oh, no, I'm watching that program because now there's this infectiousness to it, right?
Now you're a fan, yeah.
Well, a fan. He's tapped back into it, right? So,
yeah. Well, there's a couple overtones there that you mentioned as far as permission three, permission to glow in the dark. I file that as full self-expression with witnesses, unapologetically yourself. it can happen in a moment of insight or just a moment in performance where you have this actualization thing happen and people can feel it around you, or it can gradually emerge over time. And in working through that section of the book, I had to really play with the contrast of light and dark, because that moment of flashing and glowing doesn't happen without the ever-present fear. So when people hire a coach, they usually hire me for the third permission. They want permission to glow in the dark. They want to do the thing they're here to do. However, we have to dance with that ever-present fear of what's holding them back and do the thing anyway.
Well, and that's, again, that came up when I was watching this, because I'm like, this guy turned down guaranteed money. Like, he could have been set, but he stuck with what he really was passionate about, was to have creative control over what he wanted to do with his work, with his passion, and it showed. And I think that when you're going through these permissions, because we'll get to the fourth one in a second, but they're listed sequentially, but they work in tandem. And like there's an ebb and flow to them, right?
There is. And they can be ascending gates of your own, claiming your own power, clearing your mind, and then feeling your emotions, tuning in with your emotions, and then glowing in the dark, and then the fourth. Mm-hmm. However, they are also independent of one another. This will be the first in a series of five books. I'll be writing a book about each of the four permissions. Mm-hmm. And any one of these can and will absolutely change your life. But like yoga, it's an integrated system. And when you integrate these things together, they have powerful compounding effects. Like, there's something powerful about what you experience coming off of that, just witnessing this gentleman's, you know, awareness and presence in that moment. Is he's experiencing this moment of vocation. He's he is his work, and his work is him, and he's doing his thing, and he's lit up, and everyone around him could feel it. I mean, that's, you know, my daughter's a professional singer. When I see rock stars, that's what we feel coming off of rock stars.
Very similar, right. Exactly. Same.
It is. Totally. And there is a absolute connection with those earlier permissions of, you know, can they quiet their mind to navigate where they want to get to in this noisy world, distracting world? Can they tune into their intuition and be guided by their feelings, which is the second permission? And permission to glow in the dark is the obvious result.
So here's where we get to the next thing that happened at that event, because I think it leads into a bit of the fourth permission. So the guy that they expected to show up, people are like, where is he? Where is he? And again, this wrestling organization is bucking all the trends of what the traditional WWE, WWF has done. This guy who turned bad, they thought he was good. They're all the bad guys in the ring. There's this good guys that are all beaten up and they're down and all that stuff. And then the lead bad guy says, I'm going to say goodnight. I'm going to send everyone happy. Bye-bye. And then all of a sudden, the music of the guy that they did expect shows up. And he's beaming. Lights didn't go off, but this guy still shone brighter than the guy that just debuted, because it was what he was expected. So it's like he glowed in that there was already a lot of light there. And he said, look at all these stars that are here. And here I am. Now, as I talk about this, that I think there's a correlation to the fourth permission to a degree. Can we expand upon that?
Yeah. So some good friends of mine, and one of them who does happen to be a pretty big rock star down here, her name is Ani DeFranco. She's an independent singer songwriter.
I am a fan of her music.
she's made an incredible career, and she asked me one day, I was interviewing her for my podcast, and she said, "Well, what happens when you glow in the light? Like, if we remove the darkness and the fear is gone, what does that look like?" And it planted a seed. And as I started writing that section of the book, as I understand it, that fourth permission is about the people who have done the work of those earlier three permissions. When they're willing to be in their own eternal work, when they're willing to be in their own emotions and their own potential for failure, which is the darkness, and still glow, then they could come together and there's less competition. I mean, it's a competitive world, but we could transcend competition for collaboration.
Right.
And I think if there's anything that our creator could be asking of us right now at this moment in time, when the world is burning, when COVID is running rampant, when political division is everywhere, is to get over our petty differences and to come together and collaborate. So we are less threatened and less triggered when we are surrounded by people who have done the work. You know, we are inspired by them. We stand shoulder to shoulder with them. We are peers. We are not competitors.
Well, and again, to the example I gave, this guy had every capability of talking smack about the organization he left, which he, by the way, main evented WrestleMania 3 months prior. So he was one of the top dogs. Wow. He didn't. He was very gracious. He took the high road completely. And that's because he knows what he's capable of. And he knows what, like, he was fully, it was just really fascinating to watch all of this unfold. And as I was thinking about, like, these elements of permission, it's all fear is what keeps us from doing really all four of these. It's fear that, right. that is the kind of
messes
the,
us up.
It's the thing that messes us up. So, and I think it shows up in those form of biases, you know, the idea of, I can't do this. This isn't the way we normally do things. Oh, someone else has done this before.
Right. Who am I to do this thing? Or we scroll social media and compare and despair. It's, you know, but while you're talking about wrestling, and by the way, I love the fact that you chose wrestling as like the lens to view this.
I could have gone down DDP yoga too. I could have gone down.
Oh, no. I actually prefer it. I'm a Gen X kid and I grew up with like the earliest WrestleMania. So I totally love it. But I think of a guy like The Rock, Dwayne mm-hmm. Johnson, and that guy has transcended all different industries to become this industry unto himself because he is a true ambassador of goodwill. I it's hard for me to think of a person that actively doesn't like or hates Dwayne Johnson. He represents something I think that's actually pretty pure as far as what's possible and what's, you know, what human potential could look like, you know?
Right.
And I think of all of my earliest memories of just like huddling around the TV, you know, watching WrestleMania.
This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Shopify. Dreaming of starting your own business or looking to take your current one to the next level? Shopify is here to make that dream a reality. As the leading e-commerce platform, Shopify empowers you to start, grow, and manage your business with ease. From setting up your online store to scaling globally, Shopify provides all the tools you need to succeed in the marketplace. Customize your storefront, manage your inventory, and connect with your customers all in one place. With direct-to-consumer pricing, same-day shipping, and a global community of entrepreneurs, Shopify supports your journey at every step. Are you ready to transform your business idea into a success story? Visit shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial and embark on your entrepreneurial journey with Shopify. That's shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial. Do it today.
Again, if Dwayne Johnson, who was he's like a third or fourth generation wrestler, he's seen others go before him. Plus, he also saw other wrestlers that like Hulk Hogan and those guys that were super popular. He's like, well, who am I to do that? Nah, he was definitely somebody to do that. So I think that one of the things that I'd love for people to get out of this conversation is beyond the fact that permission is such a huge thing, the permission to glow, is how do these, when you tap into these four permissions, how are you able to not just you can't really avoid fear. It's there. Like it's omnipresent. Yeah. But how do you lean into it or make it not as paralyzing or as debilitating as it is or can be?
Well, one of the central themes of the book that I explore in each of the permissions is this concept of the big honking dream. Like we all have one, you know, we're living part of it right now, just even having this conversation, but everyone out there has one. And on the way to pursue that big honking dream, we will get confronted. Even if not by all the predictable fears that show up and the tax man and the whatever the thing is, the mortgage payment, there's still the dream itself is confronting. You know, even the enormous, like I'm noticing it with my book. I've treasured this idea for so long, and the closer it gets, the more part of me wants to resist it.
Yep.
It's because that eventuality of coming face to face with something you've been dreaming about, it's a big freaking deal. But I would say that each of these are tools we can use to dance with that given predictable, ever-present fear. And fear is not a weakness. courage is the muscle we build by doing the thing anyway, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just a muscle that we develop over time by just 1% more, 5% more, 10% more. And over time, you'll be doing, your chances are you're already doing things that you once completely, you're probably taking things for granted that you once thought were totally impossible. That's the work of, first of all, slowing down, feeling into what's coming up for you, noticing the fear and doing the thing anyway, glowing in the dark, and then standing shoulder to shoulder with others to hopefully create some positive change in the world. I mean, this is what's being asked of us. And that's why when we look around, we see so much darkness and so much fear. I think it's here to inform us. It's here to activate us.
What I really appreciate about the book as well is the fact that you can revisit it, right? Because we need that. We need books that allow you to go back and go, right, like, right, right. And the term permission, like just looking at that. I mean, I've got it on my Kindle here, but if you're looking at it on a spine on a bookshelf, you're like, permission, let me see what that is. Like, right, I do have permission to do these things. And I think that that's something that I really can appreciate as a writer, but also who reads a lot of books and talks to a lot of people about their books, is the fact that this is not a one and done book. This is not a one and done proposition. This is a book that I'm not going to say it's like a reference book, but it can act as one as you make your way through this journey, because you mentioned time and money are these resources that are omnipresent in our lives, but they are also we're never going to get to the point where it's like I'm done with either. That when you're done with money and you're done with time, you're actually done. Right. Like that's it. You're done.
It's over,
right? So the fact that you can come back to these lessons and the symbols and the things you talk about in the book, I think are really, really valuable.
Well, thanks for noticing that. I mean, I'll give you a spoiler alert for coaching, whether you're hiring a $500 a month coach or a $500,000 a month coach, that coach's job is to unlock your relationship to practice at deeper, heavier, bigger levels than you've ever practiced before, to fall in love with practicing. It's what I've done with my daughter, coaching her to become a professional musician. It's what I do with all my executive leader clients every day. It's what my coach does with me. Mm-hmm. And the book is really designed to just playfully encourage people to practice, to just keep showing up, to make it messy. I even joke in the end, the laws of compassionate change. There's even a permission to suck, you know, like permission to suck at first, because if you don't give yourself that permission to be kind of terrible in the beginning, you're never going to continue. You'll have a fixed mindset. You'll say, why bother the next day? But if you play with these things, what we realize is our ability to grow and expand and to try new things, it's truly malleable, and we could work with it through practice.
The book is called Permission to Glow. Christopher Carter, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. Where can people pick up the book, and where can they keep up with you and your work?
Sure thing. My pleasure, Mike. And the best place to find it is permissiontoglowbook.com. That has access to all of our fun pre-order packages and just fun things we're doing around the book. And I'd love for people to say hello. I love meeting new people, especially Canadians.
Thanks again, Christopher, for having a productive conversation with me today.
Thanks for having me on, Mike.
Big thanks to Christopher for joining me on the program. Again, the book is called Permission to Glow. You can pick it up wherever books are sold. But again, if you want to just check out everything we talked about, relevant links, helpful tips, all that stuff, you can check those out in the show notes, which you can find in the podcast app you're using, if you are indeed using one right now. But also go to productivityist.com/podcast394. And when you're there, you can also quickly jump over to check out all the sponsors that we had for this episode. So make sure you give them some of your love as well, because when you support them, you support the show. Want to support the show even further? Leave a rating or review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening to this program. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already done so. That way you don't miss a single episode of what's to come, and you have easy access to the archives. Speaking of what's to come, next time I'm speaking with Jeff Harry. That's a conversation that's been waiting in the wings for quite some time. We've had some fantastic conversations over the past several months, including one around some of the stuff that we don't really talk about publicly all that much. Well, I do. I talk about pro wrestling and all those things as well, but we get into that. That's a behind the scenes conversation, but we get into a lot of great stuff, and you don't want to miss that conversation. So if you're a subscriber, you're going to get it quickly and easily delivered to you. If you're not, hit that subscribe button now. That way you don't miss that episode. That's it for now. I'm Mike Vardy, the host of A Productive Conversation with Mike Vardy, reminding you to stop doing productive and start being productive. See you later.